Yes,
but
ma'am.
I curse whomever you curse.
That's true.
Curse
that's
you.
True. Very.
So people that hate the Israelites, wow. hate Jewish people, they've already brought a curse into them.
And self-inflicted curses, too.
Mm, wow.
You know, that where you actually put it on yourself, didn't even realize you did, but you did.
By what you spoke.
And but this next one, I'm telling you what, it is, I wish that I listened to these two right here first before I went to Robert Henderson. Robert Henderson's Ice on the Cake. This guy, on the second one, he was actually showing how demons come in and influence you to a degree where you will literally put a gun up to your head and blow your brains out.
Wow. You can't be neutral.
And most of the time, it is because of what we have done. Now, generations, absolutely, man, it's huge. We're not guilty for none of them. That's what iniquity is, generational. But we're not guilty of none of that, but we suffer their penalty.
Yeah.
Did you know up until about 100 years ago, and this was worldwide, and it still is practiced someplace in the world, that if your mom and dad owed money, you, as a child, even though they're gone, they might be dead, you're responsible to pay it back. And that's the truth.
So he lists things so that, you know, if you read horoscopes, you can repeat
yep.
that.
Boy, that's huge.
Can you write that down? You said listen to who?
Derek,
I'll write that for you.
D-E-R-E-K, Derek Prince.
Yeah, I know who he is. This is the evidence of God. This is evidence of prayer. This,
yeah.
I'm telling you. God is totally showing himself wrong.
You need to remember,
every problem is defeatable. Mm-hmm. Everything of the world is defeatable. Remember the serpent? He put it on our feet. Yeah.
And I know one thing, you know, nothing lasts forever. You know, I know, especially if you're rooted in God, and, you know, that's one thing I thank my parents, because they have always, you know, taught us how to come back to the Lord through everything that, you know, you may have went through in your life. So.
The other thing that you're saying, rooted, you can have crabgrass, you can mow it every single day.
Yes,
but if
ma'am.
You don't dig it up by the root,
come on.
Problem in your life has
come on. Come
and
on.
You can ask God, what is the root of this?
Guarantee that mimosa will keep coming back.
That's what happened for you. When
you got to kill the root and the seeds.
Every time
the
and the
what?
The crop that
preach.
Yeah.
Every challenge I had, the Lord always told me, taught me how to deal with the root.
There you go.
I wanted to deal with, I want relief now.
That's what Teen Challenge deals with, is the root of all problems.
You're gonna, you know, as I was stronger, he had me to deal with the root. What are you saying? Speak the word, speak what you want to have.
Not what you
put
mean.
That your word, faith is defining. You can redefine everything. Aspect of your life. This is the training of the Lord. Now listen to what he said in Isaiah 8. This is a condition of Isaiah 60 verses 1 and 2 teaches about how the darkness will cover the earth.
Right.
In gross darkness the people, but he give us the light. The Holy Spirit will always fully supply you with light. You just have to receive it. The word of God will help you receive it.
And the other thing, if you go out in your yard and you pull up all the crabgrass, if you don't plant, clear the soil, dig up all the roots, and then begin to plant good seed there, which you do that by speaking the word of God and believing it, you're going to get crabgrass over and over and over,
and over again.
This is Isaiah.
Crabgrass could be unforgiveness, dwelling on the stuff that happened. You know, just anger.
Unforgiveness is the
more you love people, the easier it is, because unforgiveness will it'll stop your faith. Like train.
Completely.
It will literally,
and you'll be turned over to the tormentors. That's what Jesus said. If you have unforgiveness, you will not forgive. Mm-hmm. He said you will be turned over to the tormentors.
And also the demonic spirits.
That's the demonic spirits. Mm-hmm. And they got names.
This is Isaiah 8, verse 11 says, "For the Lord spake this to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, because they were associating themselves with wicked people.
Idol worshipers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Neither fear ye their fear." That's a problem. Don't fear. Mm-hmm. Nor be afraid. you don't have anything to be afraid of. Satan and all of his sources are under your foot. All of his ranks are under your foot.
Crushed to jelly.
Yeah. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, before a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Now watch what what Isaiah said. He said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. There are times that you're going to find in your life God will give you revelation that some of the greatest men of God don't know.
Right.
Because he says, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob. And I will look for him. There are people God is hiding from because they are hiding from him. And there are people that I will try to talk to, and it's like the Lord. All the revelation that he had just given me, it's like he'll put it in a suitcase and zip it up, and I can't get to it. Mm-hmm. And when I leave that presence, it all comes back.
Don't throw your pearl before swine.
Yeah. And the Holy Spirit will help you. I didn't know what was. I said, how does the devil do that? I thought the devil did some kind of trick. Literally. When I leave, I said, Lord, why? What is it? I realized God was hiding from them because they wouldn't repent. I learned more about it later on, but flow with the Holy Spirit. Everybody can't receive the same thing.
There's a proverb on that too.
Yeah.
Sure is. He said, man, that you'll be unsuccessful in everything that you do if you have unconfessed sin and you're trying to hide it.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that happened, I follow God, I watch him. I learn in the relationship, do what he said do. He got this. Every stage of life and ministry, whatever you're doing, if you regard the Lord and watch him, and then do what he sanctions you to do, it works. He gave me, I can't see my ministry because I do a radio ministry and a website ministry. I don't know how many people listen to it. And I don't think about it. But what I do, I pray for the audience. I pray that God will supply people. And I know, see, who was the most motivated? God or Jonah? God was motivated with it. He made sure reluctant Jonah got to the Ninevites. He's still saying. I know that if I pray, and my prayers are very much, I can pray that God use these tools, the website, the radio, to cause people, the right people to hear. And I know it's working because he told me a few years ago, he said, instead of doing 15-minute broadcasts, do 30-minute broadcasts. But the 30-minute, the latter 15 is for the website. The hungriest people are going to go on it. The radio audience, they'll be blessed. Sometimes he give me revelation, and I try to squeeze it into the first 15 minutes. But when I'm doing the radio broadcast, it'll end up on the second half. And I feel like, I used to feel like I failed because I didn't get it in the first half. But that was the order of God. He's talking to people that have strength, and then those that are hungry, he talks to them in greater measure. Remember the parable of the sower? After everybody had left and went home, his disciples said, explain this parable of the sower. And then Jesus broke it all the way down for them. People that are hungry, that's what the Lord will do. When we are, that's the word will help us to be, it'll give you a desire for God. It'll give you strength, stamina. Sometimes I study the same chapter all day. I listen to it while I work. And if I hear something, and I say, since the Lord's trying to get a point over to me, I keep listening to it. Or a section. Or the same book. And I'm getting it in my heart so I can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And I'd rather do that than anything else. I'd be at home watching TV and I'd put something in and listen to it. But anyway, it gives you an appetite for him. All right. when he's working with something, he's backing you up. Whatever you put in motion, he's going to multiply. And then he gave me the website broadcast for people who want to know him. And it's greater than the, you know, you have to follow. He hides his face from people that don't want him. They won't repent. And he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You're going to experience this in life. You may have a fresh revelation, try to tell your best friend, your best friend, they just can't receive it right now. Or they, it choke them. They be like, they can't process it.
Feeding steak to a baby.
Yeah. and be patient with people, because some of the things the Lord tell you at the stage you're at, you can't process it either.
You better believe it.
I say, Lord, you're trying to get something over to me, and I have to, when he give you the revelation, you have to change your opinions.
Yep.
And all this process will happen. This comes from relationship, training.
And being surrounded by men and women of God that are sensitive to the Spirit, and they are looking to build up and encourage the little brothers and sisters that's young in the Holy Ghost.
And God can cause people that love him to say what you need. Mm-hmm. Don't go around asking folks. Pray and ask the Lord, mm-hmm. and he'll activate them for you.
Okay. Come on, that's good.
All right, he said, now going back to what he said, verse 14, he should be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a block of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, because Jerusalem had gotten into great idolatry at that time. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken, snared, and taken. Then he said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, and from the Lord of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead. This is a day when people, a lot of the world leaders are into their Luciferians. This is the day he was talking about. They're looking to wizards and people that have familiar spirits.
Yep.
But he said no to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. And the way we get light in us, first we believe on Christ. Mm-hmm. We believe on Jesus, that his blood washed away our sins. Mm-hmm. And then we hear his word. We receive his words. The 10 virgins, they had believed on the Lord. Mm-hmm. But 5 of them had the word in them. And 5 of them let the word be exalted. Mm-hmm. Be exhausted. And so they didn't live according to the word of God anymore. He said, now this is what happens to people that have no light in them. Verse 21, and they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish. Now watch this. They shall be driven to darkness. If you don't fight it, it will drive you to darkness.
That's crazy. That could be an end time verse right there.
It is an end time verse.
But the Lord said, submit yourself to me. Submission means don't doubt what he's saying to you. You go to him and just say it. Because I've done this when I was in the worst job on the planet. There was no real estate companies hiring. I said, God, you're going to have to help me because I can't do anything. There's nothing I can do. And he brought a miracle to me once I said, I can't help myself. Joseph Prince, and he said, and resist the devil. He has not changed his tricks. He'll say, well, you know, if you smoke one more cigarette, you can quit tomorrow. Because he didn't tell Eve to eat off the tree. What he said is, did God really say that? I mean, come on now. Did he really, really? It's doubt and unbelief. The other thing is, again, submit yourself to God. Just tell him, I can't help myself. And resist Satan. And the scripture says he'll run away from you like If a person in terror, like if a lion is chasing him, the Lion of Judah is chasing him. And the last thing is, Joseph Prince put it very simple, like he said, the word is simple. He says, if you believe that man can, then God can't. But if you believe God can, then man can't. And he's saying, man can't help you. But if you just submit yourself to God and say, look, I can't help myself, he will come in and do whatever you need step by step. Mm-hmm. But if you're determined that some person can help you, then he's going to cross his arm and stand back.
Mm-hmm. Now, in relationship, we all have to learn God for ourselves. You're not going to trust him until he stops being a stranger.
Yes.
You know, if a man walk in the room you've never seen before.
I'm not going to give him my checkbook.
Well, he asked you to do something. Your first response, you'll look to see who he knows. If he's a friend or pastor, you have a reference. You may trust him because of a pastor. If a guest minister comes, and he teaches things you hadn't heard before, usually what people do, they look to see if the pastor agrees.
Agrees. Come on. That's right.
I've been that guest minister. I say, put God put on my hand. And about out of 100 people, 30 of them going to look at the pastor and see if they agree. So they want a reference. They're not going to, people don't trust God unless they have a relationship. Now, the Word of God ushers in that relationship. Ask him your questions. If you got questions, ask him. He can talk. I asked Pastor Elder Lewis one time. He was my first pastor after I got saved. Well, it was second pastor after I got, because I went to a Methodist church then. He was the first holiness pastor. That was my pastor. And I said, how does God talk to you? He said, primarily through the Word. He can open up your understanding to the Word. That's God talking. The Word is God talking, but he can give you illumination of the Word. He can help you receive it. Secondly, he can talk to you in your spirit. He can give you dreams. He can talk to you in your spirit. And he can talk to you through others. That's what he answered. So, I wasn't skilled at hearing from God at that point. So, I would ask the Lord my questions. And I knew that he had a message from God. And I would say, Lord, cause me to say what I need. Some decisions I would not make until after Sunday, after the Lord answered me through Elder Lewis. And while he was preaching, I'd be pulling from him. I'm taking in what he's saying. I say, Lord, make him say what I need. And then he'll say it. And sometimes he wouldn't. And God asked me another way. But
just make sure all of that lines up with the Word.
Yeah, I still do.
All have to agree.
It has to.
Sometimes God will tell me something that I never heard him say before. It may be hard. You know, I'm trying to get a grip on what he's saying. And I listen. I turn the mirrors on. And he calls people to say what I need so I can make the adjustments. In following God, it's from glory to glory, stage to stage. We get to know him. We start off, we get to know him, and we learn about him. You sense things from him. You ask your questions, he answers them. Keep it. Don't let it get stolen. Fill your heart with that part of God's word.
Write it down.
Yeah.
The date. The time, keep your journal, write it down.
And go back and look at it because it's always alive. What you write 10 years ago is current information. He taught me he said every time he used to give me a message, and I felt like a kid. I could feel that word in my heart. I could feel the anointing on that word. And that word had a desire to be preached. I couldn't wait till I could preach and get that burden off me. It wasn't like an aggravating burden. It was a joy.
Yeah.
But the life in God's word wanted to do something. Mm-hmm.
A good verse.
So I get excited about it, and after about 3 weeks, it diminished. And I had to go get my notes and read it off the paper. Mm-hmm. But if I had preached it when God first gave it to me, it would have been. I wouldn't have needed the notes as much. It was a fresh word. Mm-hmm. Then when I am preaching, I can feel it leave. I can feel the word deplete. Mm-hmm. And I go back to being thirsty again. Then I tell you this would happen also. This happened more than anything. God would give me a message, and I would tell the pastor. And most of the time, they wouldn't let you preach it. And you could feel that word till the day that you were supposed to preach it. And when the time passed, the people that God was going to talk to, they're gone. Then it lifts. And that used to grieve me. But the Lord taught me this. He said, I said, why is it that when you give me the word, I feel it. I feel like a kid on Christmas. But by the time I preach, I have to read it off the paper. He said, the enemy's been siphoning the word out of your heart through aggravating situations. Just, you know, I was a mechanic, getting the wrong parts, boats breaking, people not paying you, all kind of problems. And by the time you have to preach, you've been going through 3 weeks of hardness. And you have to read it off the paper. Well, so I changed my strategy. Every day I studied that word, I kept it full. And I learned to do that with the word. And you can't get depressed doing that. It's impossible. When the Lord says something, you can quickly agree with him. You can quickly respond in faith and keep it. And then the training, what God trained you for, he's going to back you up. Receive all the training, because you can go so far, but the next step, you're going to have training for the next step.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And you got to receive that. So when the Lord's trying to tell me something, he'll say something, and then I say, sometimes I actually forget. I say, give it to me again. He'll give it to me again. I write it down. Mm-hmm. And then I say, there's more. Give me more. Stay after him about it. Don't let him just give you a piece. Get the whole thing. Yeah. That's training. Then when he tell you what he's doing, it's going to sound over the top. That happens all the time. One time, pastor said, every January, the pastor, which is about to happen now, a few weeks, the pastor's going to give us a prophecy, a word of prophecy. He always do. One time, after he told me to do the website, he said, think big. So I said, I received that, Lord. I'm going to think big. And then the Lord started telling me big things he was doing with my ministry. And so I have to receive it. If I tell you, it'll sound crazy. But you have to believe it. And you have to think big. But it's motivated. There's the life of God is in it. It follows peace.
Other thing, almost all the major ministries were people that came from a harsh background, like Joyce Meyer. I don't think you can come from a worse background than her.
The enemy, Jesse Plattis.
Jesse Plattis came from a rough family.
T.J.
Yeah, all of these people. But they broke through. But the thing is, again, Satan hasn't changed his tactics. Well, how is God going to use you? Mm-hmm. If I get that all the time, I just tell him, hey, Joyce Meyer. And at that point, rather than I answer the devil with scripture, but I say, Lord, take this mess that I made of my life in the past and fix it. He says, Deborah, I'm in your past, I'm in your present, I'm in your future. There's no time where he is. There's no time. We move through time, but he doesn't. So we'll go back and fix your past.
Mm-hmm. Make it brand new.
Make it brand new.
Right. I'm going to close with this. Okay. Way out of time. Mary would be doing like that.
Yeah, she'd have been told to watch it.
My dad, he saw both his parents get killed the same day. Well, he saw his dad, his mother was already shot.
Wow.
And he learned to forgive. I believe my mother helped him with it. And I told my son, my daddy left us a legacy. He gave the man that killed his parents. And the man got out of jail by the time he was grown. He killed the parents when he was 5. So, but when he saw him, the man he vowed to kill one day, he went out and saw him and forgave him and shook his hand.
Wow.
And left me a legacy, left my whole family a legacy. The legacy is what you leave behind. But, you know, our inheritance is what our parents leave for us to work with. Anyway, as you follow God, receive the training, there's nothing you can't do.
Amen
for that. Ephesians 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. That's the key. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Help us to go forward doing all that's in your heart. Help us to receive everything that you have to say, that we may do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
And thank you, Father, let that word fast into our hearts.
Yeah.
And through faith, let us reach in and pull your promises into reality.
And you're going to love it.
Jesus.
You're going to love it.
Amen, that's good.
You just make plain, plain, you just can't get enough.
Nice job. Very charming.